The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
To Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took all of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Dear Heavenly Father, as I stand before you today as a vessel, as your servant, as your the person that you call forth on today, oh God, humble me right now, oh God. Hide me that you be seen. I decrease and you increase. Silence me that you be heard on today, oh God. Father, we ask that the words that go forth on today, let them fall on good ground on today, oh God. Father, we ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that anyone that is under the sound of my voice, they come with receptive of the word on today, oh God. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that the double portion, oh God, rest in this house on today, oh God. Let it rest on your people on today, oh God. Let them walk out your word on today, oh God. Let it be evidence, oh God, in our lives and through our lives. And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask. Amen and amen. And as I wrestled with this on this week, amen, with this word, amen, it was a wrestle, amen, from start to finish. And it's still going, amen, with the wrestle, amen. Amen. But if I had to choose a title for today, amen, it would be The Uncommon Man, The Uncommon Father. Amen. Amen. Today, by the aid of the Holy Ghost, I will be speaking about an uncommon man and who was a surrogate father that took a man from being common to uncommon. Amen. Amen. Elijah, being an extraordinary man of God, takes a young man under his wings to train him up in the admonition of God. Soon to take his place, who is about to encounter something unimaginable. Amen? Amen. And uncommon is something out of the ordinary, something unusual, something abnormal, something rare, something unconventional, something unfamiliar, something strange, something odd, or as they say, the oddball, something curious. Curious minds, like Curious George, always longing for something, that they always looking for the answer, seeking knowledge, seeking understanding to something. Amen. Outlandish, novel, singular, peculiar, bizarre, alien, weird. How many of us have ever been called a weirdo before? Amen. Amen. Few and far between, exceptional, isolated, infrequent, irregular, and seldom seen, particular, marked, outstanding, noteworthy, significant, especial, special, superior, unearthly, mind-boggling, remarkably great. Amen. Amen. So that's uncommon. Amen. So how many of us today can say we're uncommon? Amen. One of those words fit you on today. The uncommon man, the uncommon father. So Elisha knew Elijah was a devout man of God. So he clung to every beckoning word that his teacher would utter and proclaim in the word. And by the word of God. And it came to a point where Elisha was to loose the man who had grown to love and admire and deemed a father. It started when God told Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and 16 to go to Damascus and anoint Elisha to be his predecessor. 1 Kings 19 verses 19 and 20. Elijah passed by him, Elisha, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee." Immediately at that point, there was a bond between Elijah and Elisha formed. It was born out of their mutual need for a covenant relationship. So when Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha, there was a bond, a relationship between the two. Not like a natural father and a son, but as a surrogate, a man that can teach you things that your natural father can't spiritually. Amen. If you have a natural father, amen. We ask questions. We long for answers to certain things. Amen. And sometimes they don't always have all the answers. Amen. So God places in our midst men, devout men of God. Amen. After his own heart, that is willing to take you under his wing. Amen. And raise you up. Amen. Teach you the things that you don't know, you can't comprehend on your own. Amen. Amen. It was born out of their mutual need for a covenant relationship. A relationship or relationships are secured by mutual needs in the insurance that defies betrayal. When Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha, their relationship grew. But not only that, he knew. knew what Elisha had done. Amen. And he knew that this man, being a devout man of God, was not going to betray him. Amen. He wouldn't betray the secrets that he would tell him, the things that he went through if he was molested when he was a little boy. Amen. Or his father came home drunk, cursing and beat up on his mother. He wasn't going to betray that. He trusted Elijah. So when Elijah took him under his wings and took him to the school of prophets to teach him, to mentor him, amen, Elisha grew fond of Elijah. Amen. God sends men into our lives that we can create this type of bond so we can complete our training. A surrogate father must be someone you respect, or his approval won't mean a thing to you. Someone can come to you and say, "You did a great job today." You're like, okay. But a man that you trust and understand can look at you and nod and give you an eye and would give you a thumbs up. It's like you're standing on a mountain and nothing can touch you. Amen. Because you have the approval of that father. Amen. That surrogate father. Amen. So a surrogate father must be someone that you respect. And I remember when I talked to my son, when he and his first girlfriend, they had a child, my grandson, my little best buddy. Amen. I asked him, I said, "Are you going to marry this? You going to marry her?" They both were both uncomfortable with me asking them this question. But I told him, I said, and I was married at the time. Amen. Because I couldn't say something to him that I wasn't doing myself. Amen. So I asked him, I said, "Are you going to make an honest woman out of her?" And they both were uncomfortable with the situation. Lo and behold, they separated. So when Cynthia and I got married, they separated. And then Cynthia and I got married in 2014. So I came to him again. He was dating another young lady. I said, "Are you going to marry this young lady? Are you going to make an honest woman out of her?" He's like, "Dad, we have the wedding set for September of 2015. I said, okay. I didn't beat him over the head. I didn't beat him over the head or anything. I just asked. But I had to be an example, amen, in order to be able to show thyself approved. Amen. I had to be that example. I couldn't ask him to do something that I wasn't doing myself. Amen. So back to Elisha. Elisha is about to experience the departure of his surrogate father, the man he has grown to love naturally and spiritually. Now, I'm not saying that Elisha had bad parents, that he had a bad father. He was just longing in his spirit for a growth unknown to his natural father. Elijah provided that through his teaching and in his demonstration. Elijah, the uncommon man and uncommon father, had formed a spiritual bond with the young man who would soon precede him in his absence. Isn't it amazing? The very things that we need of God in his infinite wisdom, he provides it where it is a blessing and we become a blessing. So Elijah was a blessing to so many. Then he became a blessing. He became a surrogate father and became a blessing to another young man who becomes a greater blessing. Amen. To many people. Amen. And Elijah, the uncommon man, he formed a spiritual bond with the young man. Amen. Who would soon precede him. We are not to harbor them. We are to share them in capacity where we will enlighten and expand to be fruitful and productive. So we have to be able to enlighten other men. And I remember this saying, real men hang out. Well, real men hang out. Amen. Real men come to church. There will be a real man in church. Amen. Amen. I can share a testimony that when I first came to First Baptist Church, I met two strong-willed, bullheaded men. Amen. These are strong men. And one of them names is, I call him Pop King. He sits back there. He works the soundboard. And the other one is Pop Jack. I call him Pop Jack, but Brother Jack Thomas. And we would get together. We'd call each other, and we'd set up days or days, like maybe on a Friday noonday or something, and we'll go have brunch. And before we go have brunch, me and Pop Jack, if we already there, Pop King will pull up. Papa said, before we go in here and eat lunch, get in the truck, Moses. So I climb in the truck. He said, now, Moses, he said, now I got some stuff I need to talk to you about. So he'd impart into me his wisdom. He would tell me, Moses, okay, I understand this is how your job is, and this is how things are going in your home, but this is how I want you to react. This is how I want you to pray. This is what I want you to read. He gave me four or five different books to read. Amen. He said, I want you to read them, and I'm gonna ask you questions. I said, oh Lord, now I gotta go through a quiz. Now I'm back in school again. But I never, ever, not once said, you know what? I'm not going to trust what these men have to say to me. I took that counsel. Amen. I used that counsel, and I used it wisely. Amen. Amen. Because if I wouldn't, I'd probably have knots on my head from the bread roller where my wife has banged me on the head. Amen. But sound counsel is something far and few that we receive from men of God. And there are young men and old men seeking counsel from a man that is devout, that can share wisdom with them that they've never had imparted in them in their whole life. Amen. There are things that we can learn from one another. We have to learn how to adopt each other. Amen. Amen. We go home and we talk about our moms and pops, and we say Mom Rob or Mom Pop Jack, Pop King. We have all kinds of moms and pops when we go home. And when we get home, they're like, well, how many moms and dads do you have? We have a lot of them imparting knowledge and wisdom into us spiritually. Into our spirit, man, that we can grow, that we can be fruitful and productive. So when we meet another young man or another young woman that is longing for that, we're able to impart it into them. Amen. I'm not gonna follow you if you don't have anything to impart into me. Amen. Amen. And then as I grew in this church under the tutelage of all these men, I met another man, Deacon Fitzgerald. Amen, amen. These men, I watched these men, literally, I watched these men. Amen. They don't speak something that they don't live. They don't teach something that they haven't been taught. Or have not been imparted into them, and they used it, and they have grown. They've been fruitful and productive. Amen. Where other men can come to you and say, now, I ain't going to go against Pop King now because I've tried it and it worked for me. Amen. Or I ain't going to go against Deacon Fitzgerald. I've tried it and it worked for me. Or I'm not going to go against Deacon McFarland. I've tried it and it worked for me. Amen. And God continues to bless and I'm productive because I can use that wisdom for other men. Amen. Amen. But back to Elijah and Elijah. When Elijah, the devoted man of God, Elisha clung to his words, it came to a point where Elijah was about to lose his mentor, his surrogate father. So when it came to pass, they came to a point to where God was getting ready to take Elijah from Elisha. And here in verses 1, it tells us Elijah is to be taken away by God in a whirlwind. Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord live, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." The secret power of Elijah was in his words before Elisha. He knew it was to have power. Elijah knew what it was to have power with God, and therefore he had power with man. If we stand in obedience, we would be trusted with God's power and favor. Amen. With God and with man. Amen. Elijah was a rugged prophet of the wilderness, clad in his mantle and leathern girdle, the ordinary dress of a fellaheen that every prophet wore. His ministry was a blessing and healing. In the life of the miracles of Elisha, we can find beautiful lessons on how our lives and our service should be. We find Elisha plowing one day with his father's oxen and servants in an open country field. He saw the outlaw prophet of Gilead coming toward him. At that time, Elijah was an outlaw. Whenever they saw Elijah coming into a city or a town, they would ask, "Is it well with thee?" Amen. They were afraid to see him coming. They were afraid to see him coming. Amen. But Elisha, when he saw him coming, he saw the outlaw coming toward him, passing by, and he cast his mantle upon him. Elisha knew what the sign meant. He was a wealthy man. The call was to follow Elijah as a servant, to pour water on his hands, or perhaps to even die for him. There was no time to think. He had to make a split decision at that moment, and he made it. The call of God in his heart was once upon him, it responded to it. So immediately, he asked the man of God for permission to bid farewell to his natural father and mother. And Elijah allowed it. But as he did, Elisha, he slayed the oxen, broke up all the tools, and he sacrificed it, and he went with Elisha. He went with Elijah. God, in his heart, at once responded to it. Obtaining leave to say farewell to his parents, he kills the oxen, smashes up all the instruments, and shows to all his companions that he has no more to do with his former life. Now it is becoming spiritual. There were three major schools of the prophets in the area, one in Gilgal, one at Bethel, and one at Jericho. But when God needed a successor to Elijah, he went to the plow. He went to the plow. Maybe he could not find one at the schools. God is under no obligation to use a graduate that has a diploma, a master's, a doctorate, or whatever you want to call yourself. He can use those that are working with their mere hands, making pottery, electrician, a carpenter. Amen. He used a carpenter. Amen. Which was Jesus Christ. Did he not? Jesus Christ, the master carpenter. So God is calling each one of us. We may have to work an immediate decision. We may have to make an immediate decision with no time to wait for three confirmations. May we follow at whatever the cost, but now knowing there will be a cost. The blessing that Elisha craved in asking for a double portion of the spirit of his master when Elijah was about to be taken from him was not to be twice as great, but to have the portion of the firstborn son. The firstborn son inherited a double portion of his father's property, twice as much as each of the other sons. Elisha asked to have the prophet office, and with it, the power of the spirit enabled to him to fulfill it. Thou hast asked a hard thing, was Elijah's reply. There were two conditions. Absolute surrender was one of them. In his first call, Elisha showed this thoroughness, unhindered by the discouragement of others and even by seeming discouragement of his master. He pressed on from point to point, having counted the cost. It is a serious thing to follow. Amen. It is a very serious thing to follow after someone. He always bids us to count the cost. God always bids us to count the cost. If you're going to follow me, amen. He said, those that reign with me must also suffer with me. He said, we must take up our cross daily. Amen. Amen. We must take up our own cross daily. Why? Why must we take up our own cross daily? Because there is a cost. There's a penalty. But it's not a great penalty, or it's not a bad penalty, because after this life is eternal life. Amen. After this life is eternal life to those of us who makes it in. Amen. But at last it meant Jordan itself, death to the self-life. The baptism of the Spirit always means a baptism into the death of the Messiah. The second condition was our faith. If you see me when I shall be taken from thee, this is Elijah talking to Elisha, it shall be so. So Elisha kept his eyes fixed on Elijah. He kept his eyes fixed on the prize. He knew because Elijah told him, if you keep your eyes on me, you're going to receive a prize. The word tells us to keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. We should not take our, and we should never take our hands from the plow, to keep our hands to the plow. Amen. There are circumstances and there are consequences, but lo and behold, the outcome would be great. Amen. And Elijah saw it. The results was he rent his own clothes, no more dependency on self, and took up the mantle of Elijah. For that was to be his only power now. He put it to the test at once. And when he did, he went to the waters. He rolled the mantle. He took it and smote the Jordan. And the Jordan divided. And Elijah Elisha walked over on dry ground. The works that I do, ye shall do. Amen. That's what Elijah told Elisha. And the prophets found it out. And a life of blessing and service to others was the outcome. So as we lean and depend on God and get out of ourselves, get out of ourselves. Amen. Amen. As men, amen, devout men of God, we no longer have to depend on what we think if we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in us and through us. And that's what Elisha did when he saw Elijah being carried up into the heavens, amen, by the chariot. But as uncommon men, as an uncommon man, and as an uncommon father, the word tells us that uncommon husbands and uncommon fathers embraces his family as his divine assignment on the earth. Ephesians 5 and 25. An uncommon husband, uncommon father, uncommon. He discerns that Satan is the enemy to his household. The uncommon husband, the uncommon father, anticipates and resists anyone attempting to inject doubt or fear or strife in his home environment. Proverbs 20 and 3, Galatians 5 and 19. The uncommon husband, the uncommon father, decides the hero's knowledge and influences of his family's needs. Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 15. The uncommon husband, the uncommon father, carefully chooses a home church that reflects his beliefs. Amen. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. The uncommon husband asks questions that reveal his respect for the opinion of his family. Esther 5, verse 3. Esther 7 and 2. The uncommon husband focuses on the favorable qualities of his family that distinguish them from others. Genesis 49, 22 through 26. The uncommon husband, the uncommon father, turns every anger moment into a prayer project. 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 39. The uncommon father expects miracles and divine assistance from the Holy Spirit. John 14 and 26. So as we become uncommon and get out of the common, we become more spiritual and less natural. Our natural man decreases and our spiritual man increases. We have to feed our spiritual man with spiritual guidance, with the word of God, from spiritual devout men. Amen. We have to have a ear to hear. Amen. And a heart to receive. Amen. And a heart to want to serve. Amen. Because we have to be servants. Amen. We want to be leaders before we are able to serve anyone. We want to be esteemed before we have someone rest their feet on us. We want to be mighty before we are able to wipe someone's sweat or clean up someone's vomit or wipe the snot from someone's nose. Amen. We have to humble ourselves in all aspects because before we became the person we are, someone did it for us. Someone humbled themselves enough to do it for us. Amen. We are as a filthy rag and filthy lucre. Amen. We are sure enough dirt. Amen. Where do you think dust come from? Amen. It's not blown in here from outside. Amen. From the dust you came, and to the dust you shall return. Amen. Because we are made of the dirt. Amen. So that's where it comes from. Dirt. We are dirt. We are dirt. The very dirt that you have under your feet is what you are made of. Amen. So until we humble ourselves and become a surrogate, adopt another man or another's child, amen, we will never be able to say we have been fruitful or productive in this life. Amen. We have to move from here, from this natural experience to the supernatural experience. We have to become, we have to get out of ourselves, amen, and become the spiritual man, amen. We have to become that uncommon man, that uncommon father, uncommon husband. We don't have it all together just yet, but we are striving. That is our focus, amen. That is our focus. Abraham, that was his focus. Moses, that was his focus. When God told Moses to anoint Joshua to be his predecessor, he had to train him up. He had to train him up. We have to train someone up to take our place. If we are always stuck doing everything, and this goes for women too. Amen. This goes for the women too. Amen. I've been a secretary in the church for 63 years. Well, for 63 years, who have you been raising up to take your place? Because from the dust you came, shall the dust you return. There has to be someone to take your place. Where is the predecessors? Men and women. Amen. God says there's neither male nor female in me. Amen. Amen. So this is for men and women, devout men and women, who can go to a young woman who instead of going to her, telling her, you know, your skirt's too short. We don't allow that here. Come on. And then take a cloth and throw over them. How was your skirt when you first start coming to church? Or when you went to the club? When you was dancing to the thong song? Amen. So we have to be careful. Amen. Not to offend the Spirit. We don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. Because once you offend these young men or young women, it's hard to win them back. Amen. They'll stand outside the church door and look in here and say, I'm not going in there, because they're doing the same thing in there that they're doing out here. What am I going in there for? So we have to become uncommon. We have to become unfamiliar, strange, odd, peculiar, bizarre, an alien. Amen. We have to become these things. Amen. It's not, I've learned long time ago, it's not easy being odd, but I don't care about being oddball. Amen. I care not. Amen. About being an oddball. Amen. That means I'm special. That means I'm superior. Amen. That means I'm mind-boggling, because you don't even know what I'm thinking right now. Amen. 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 And I'm remarkably great in his sight. Amen. Amen. So I don't mind. Amen. So as these mentors, Elisha, it started with Abraham and Moses when he tutored Joshua. And now Elijah, he's tutoring Elisha to take his place. But knowing that sooner or later, this man is going to leave. He's going to leave. And he grew fond of Elijah. And what he did, it was like a father's son relationship, one that he could not shake. Amen. Elisha couldn't shake it. So when his father died, his spiritual father was taken to heaven. He called him, my father. Oh, my father. Amen. So he was looking. He was no longer looking at the spiritual man, because of the bond, the relationship that they had formed. He was now looking at Elijah as a surrogate father. Amen. Amen. And we've grown to know men like that, that we knew in our lives, that when they pass on, we cry. It's like a part of us is missing. It's like it's truly a part of us missing. Amen. Because these men have came in our lives, made an impact, and now they're gone. Amen. And they're only here for a moment. They're only here for a swift moment to teach you what you need to know, and then they're gone. Amen. They're not here forever. So Elijah knew sooner or later he was going to leave. So he trained up Elisha. Elijah knew he was going to die. He knew it. He knew it. So what he did, he trained him up. So when he parted, he left an imprint. He left a legacy. He left the future behind. He imparted into Elisha. Amen. He imparted into him the things of the future so he can impart to the next man. And the next man can impart into the next man. And it goes right on to our future. Amen. Our future does not exist if we die and have not imparted anything to anyone. When men and women, if a man or woman, if your lineage, if it all dies off, who's back here? Where's your future? You have none. Because you haven't imparted into anyone. Or you didn't have a natural son or a spiritual son. Someone that could go on in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have to impart that knowledge. That knowledge that God has imparted into us. And last but not least, the uncommon man, the uncommon husband, the uncommon father discerns distractions and he overcomes them. Amen. Genesis 13, verses 7 through 12. So when we become uncommon, we can get out of the common. We become unusual, abnormal, rare, unconventional. We become unearthly. And we allow the spiritual man to take its dwelling place in us. And I thank God for allowing me to be able to stand and be able to talk and mentor other young men. Amen. Today I brought my spiritual godson with me today. He's here all the way from Florida on today. So he's here today with me and my wife. Amen. A little 6-year-old got on the plane to come see his godfather. Amen. Amen. So I thank God for him. He's here. And he's being raised up in the admonition of the Lord because his mother and father are both in the word, teaching him. Amen. He said, he asked me when I got here, he said, do y'all have a youth ministry, a children's church? I said, sure. He said, okay. He said, I like going to church. And he told his grandma, he said, I'm going to go to church with my godfather every Sunday. I said, okay. So he'll be with us for VBS. Amen. But just to think of what the impartation, amen, that is imparted into us, how we can transfer these legacies, because we have to impart these things into them while they're young, because they are the future, amen. They are the spaceship to the future, amen. Amen. They are the spaceship because they carry precious cargo, amen. That cargo that we have imparted into them, amen, amen. So Elijah and Elisha knew what was to come. Elijah knew what was to come. Elisha knew when Elijah threw the mantle on him what was to come. Amen. So they both didn't take it lightly. They took it at heart. They didn't take it for granted. They both took it to heart. But when Elijah told Elisha, I need you to dwell here, Elisha was like, that's not so. You're not going to leave me here today because I am going to be wherever you're going to be. Whenever God takes you, I want to be there to receive what you leave behind for me. Amen. So when Elijah was taken up, Elisha took up the mantle. To take up the mantle is to carry on the good works of God. The good works. It is to impart. It is to be able to teach. Amen. To train up. Amen. amen, to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. Amen. So Elisha, he did so. And after Elijah was taken up, and he went back over the Jordan, and the prophets saw him, they bowed down to him. And then they asked him, maybe we could send out a search party for Elijah. But Elijah told, he kept saying, no, that won't be necessary. That won't be necessary. But they insisted. So he said, I'm knowing he's thinking to himself, y'all go ahead, but I know he's not. So y'all go ahead. So they sent out a search party looking for Elijah, but they did not find him. And after they got back, he said, see, told you, you wasn't going to find him. But as Elisha was walking away, and Elisha was walking, he was walking, and there was these kids. They began to make fun of Elisha. And Elisha, he mumbled something. And before he knew it, two bears came out and mauled 42 of the young men that was at the school of the prophet. 42. Because they said, go ahead, bald head. Keep going, bald head. Picking at the man of God. Amen. You have to be careful who you put your mouth on. Amen. But as men and women of God, devout men and women of God, amen. When Elisha, whatever he muttered, it didn't say what he muttered. It didn't say what he mumbled. He just mumbled something. And immediately, it was over for those young men. The bears mauled them. So not only did he take on that mantle of Elijah, he also took on God. He took God in. Amen. He took on Elijah's God. Amen. And not only that, he received a double portion of that. Amen. Whatever he thought on, it came to pass. He just mumbled. It didn't have to be yelled or screamed. It came to pass. So his ministry was of healing and of blessings, teachings and prosperities. And what he did, he passed it on for generations to come. And that's what God is asking for us to do on today. We have to take up our mantle. We have to become that uncommon man, that uncommon husband. We have to take up the mantle and carry on. We have to take up whatever God lays to our hands to do and carry on. Don't be steadfast. The word tells us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abiding. Amen. So when we abide in him and he abides in us, whatever he does or whatever he wants done through us, it can be accomplished. Amen. So we have to allow God to be God in us and through us. And that's what Elisha did when he took up Elijah's mantle. So on today, we asking you to take up your mantle, to adopt a young man, to adopt someone that you don't know, amen. Someone you don't know, someone you've never talked to, someone you've never met before, amen. Be able to part words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding into them, the words of God into them. Let them know that it's not as bad as it seems. There's a greater outcome, amen. There is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, amen. If we just hold fast, keep our hands to the plow, and keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. So on today, we're asking you to take up your mantle on today and we don't want you to be grudgingly giving with it, but we want you to do it freely, givingly. Amen. From your heart. Amen. Be able to nourish someone. Be able to talk to another man or another woman or another girl or another boy. Amen. Because it's not about us anymore. It's not about us. It's all about the kingdom of Christ. Amen. 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 It's all about the kingdom of Christ. Amen. And we have to get outside of ourselves. Amen. And get into the uncommon man. Amen. And as we gather today, amen, as uncommon men and uncommon fathers on today, amen, amen, I would like to, for all the men to be anointed on today with the oil, amen. We have it here. Is it under here or is it in your office? Amen, amen, amen. So, I would like to say a special prayer over all the men on today, especially those that are fathers who've lost their fathers, amen, amen, who are surrogate fathers, amen, who are fathers-to-be, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to First Baptist Church, WCH.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.